Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's been another day where Matt is calling out people.
Just don't be stupid and you'll avoid the dope list. It's really quite simple.
Yet CBSSports.com says the Dolphins won the trade.
That's ludicrous. That's absolutely ludicrous.
They gave him an A minus, and they gave the Chiefs a B.
That's no. Just no. Chiefs won that trade.
How do you know? But how do you know? They're writing numbers on a board right now.
Because nobody gives up five draft picks for a receiver. I don't care how good you are.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, but they're just numbers on a board right now. Right? You can't even in a million years tell who won it. Now, is it expensive what they did? Yes. So let's just take it from this point of view. They give up a one and a two this year, correct? Are they going to get a player? Now, he's going to have to stay healthy. So that's the other part you can't predict. But is there any player the Chiefs are going to draft that will be better than Hill in the first or second round?
Right. You ultimately have to turn it into good players, those draft picks. But
right.
At this point in time, they have that right now, and the Dolphins don't.
And more often than not, you don't. This is what I say all the time about, hey, we sent this player away for prospects. Like right now, Brian Reynolds is in a spot where the Pirates are going to arbitration with him. Like, what are you going to arbitration for him? They didn't even offer him a multi-year deal. Okay? In fact, do you see what the Pirates' opening day number is financially?
I'm afraid to ask.
Guess what their payroll is for opening day.
I'll say $50 million.
Too high.
Oh my God. I was going to say 35 million.
That's $1 million less than Mike Trout.
And we wonder why we had the issues that we had with these baseball negotiations.
The deck, call the janitor.
That's embarrassing.
Only from the day they acquired Brian Reynolds from the Giants, of the 53 players that they have, you know, the top 53, only four remain. All right, our play-by-play call of the day.
Under a second baseball pass. Yay! Unbelievable.
That is a heck of a play. How about the recognition by Bogdanovich?
The Knicks fans don't seem very happy at all.
I wouldn't be either.
Knicks, not good. I told them the next item up on the for my class is they have to turn in a talk show, and I know there's like a Knicks fan in my class. I said, I don't want to hear about the Knicks. I said, don't you think America suffered enough? All right. All right, let's recap the NCAA Wrestling Championships, the outstanding Jeff Byers. Jeff, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Boy, I'm telling you, a whole lot to work with. Just truly a remarkable team, and the program just keeps building upon its success, and it really was just a truly remarkable weekend in Detroit.
This is how I phrased it yesterday, Jeff. I said, everybody's going all these platitudes and so forth. I said, back in the 2000s, Russ Rose had won four consecutive national championships and ended up, you know, it was all said and done, winning seven.
Yep.
I said, they're not just the best women's volleyball program in the country. They're the best program, period, in intercollegiate athletics. I said, now, today, you can say that and have been able to say that about Penn State wrestling for years. They're not just the best wrestling program in the country. They're the best intercollegiate athletics program, period, in the country. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think just based on the numbers, yes. And I think, you know, it's interesting when you go back through the years in wrestling. I mean, that there was, you know, Oklahoma State has had a couple of runs of complete dominance. Iowa obviously had its huge run in the 80s, in particular under Gable. And, you know, I would put this dynasty by Penn State right up there with the best of the Gable years and the best of the two most significant Oklahoma State runs in terms of just overall performance. What has happened here, and it was funny, Steve, because there were a lot of people saying after that 2014 season that, you know, okay, now Penn State's going to come back to earth. And we'll see what happens from here on out. Well, after, you know, Ohio State won it in 2015, five of the last six tournaments now, Penn State has had five wrestlers in the finals. It is rare to have a team in a decade get five to the finals. Penn State's done it five times in the last six tournaments, and the year that they didn't, they went 4-for-4 in the NCAA finals. I mean, it's just silly, the numbers that Penn State's putting up right now.
It is, and I believe they've won a minimum of nine consecutive finals, and I think 18 of their last 21.
Actually, I think it's 11 straight finals.
11 straight, okay, because it would go back. I didn't know, because I knew they'd won four last year, five. I didn't, you know, thinking about if they won the last two that they were in the last time, you know.
They did, in 2019. So, yeah, I mean, that's, again, when you look at the overall numbers are obviously impressive, but when you start looking at what Penn State has been doing in the semifinals and the finals, against, obviously, at that point, the very best of the best. It is, obviously a tremendous credit to the individuals involved, but, there's no question that Kale Sanderson and Cody Sanderson and Casey Cunningham have just a really good formula working right now for how to get these guys to perform at their best in the NCAA championships.
When you are in that position, and I'm looking at this at a football and men's basketball point of view for the moment. People will look at not the head coach, but they'll look at the assistants, and they're the ones that are going to get the offers to be hired someplace else.
Yep.
And let's take Arizona, for example. They went to Gonzaga. They got Tommy Lloyd. Okay, so that we'll use that as a prime example. Okay. What has the stability of the staff meant to the continued results?
To me, Steve, I really think it has been everything. And that's not to say that there's no way Kale Sanderson would be successful without those two, but the way that the degree of trust that they have in each other and the different roles that they accept and excel at within that the coaching framework, and all three of them are, I would certainly throw Jimmy Kennedy in the mix, and before that, Jake Barner and Aaron Onspach before that. I mean, the volunteer assistant has been right in the mix as well, and I do think Jimmy Kennedy's given some kind of fresh enthusiasm to that coaching staff, but what they each do is really sit down after each season and evaluate, I think, very critically where they are and what they want to continue to work on as coaches, and then also taking a look at the overall picture with the team. And, you know, it's one of the things that all of the great coaches obviously have that, is there's not that satisfaction like Kale Sanderson wasn't coming home saying, ah, all right, man, that's the way we do it. He was saying, all right, how do we figure out how next year we get not just five in the finals, maybe six, maybe seven in the finals? How do we get 10 All-Americans instead of only, and I use only in air quotes, six? But that's, I mean, that is the mindset, is that they're just consistently looking ahead, trying to figure out ways to improve and, you know, and how to help the kids on the team get better. And you know, even the kids themselves, Steve, to win a national championship is obviously a big deal and very hard. But as anybody in any sport will tell you, repeating as champion is more difficult because everybody's gunning for you. Everybody's looking at all of the tape. You know, I was talking at the NCAA social after the finals. What the four guys who repeated as champions did this year is, and I know a lot of people just kind of take it for granted. Oh, okay, they won. Of course, they're going to win again.
No.
You've got to understand the caliber of coaches that are out there. When you look at the Michigan coaches and the Iowa coaches and Arizona State, all of these coaching staffs, I mean, they are great coaches, and they have great kids that are willing to learn and athletic and all of that, and they're all gunning for you. When you can prevail in a year like this where you had, you know, all of the six-year, seven-year kids coming back, that is really special stuff.
Yeah. No, and look, Aaron Brooks beat Miles Amin. How about Carter Storace? Those are two champions head-to-head.
No question.
It's hard to repeat. It's just hard to do it. I mean, you've got to be really good, or somehow, some way, on the day you're not at your best, figure out a way to win. And I think everyone just assumes they're already at their best. They're not.
No, and that's the thing. And you know, when you look, Steve, not just at this year's team, but what Cal and the program has been doing since 2011. And I know Cal preaches it all the time, but a lot of coaches preach it. But to be as consistent as this program and these teams have been and the individuals within it, because you're right, there are days, you know, it's just like any of us. You go to work and you're prepared and you have everything in order, and it just is a crappy day. For whatever reason, it just doesn't go your way. And it feels like things are kind of can be overwhelming, and we all have those days. But when you look at what a Nick Lee has done, and again you go back over the years, all of the names that you know with Penn State wrestling here under Cal, it's that consistency. It's not just that they're peaking in March; it's that they are day in and day out performing at a very high level, regardless of what all is going on in their lives. And like everybody else, they're all having, you know, different issues that they're facing, whether it's relationships, grades, family. I mean, it's everything else. And to be able to put that aside and just dial in on what it is that you're trying to accomplish, it takes a special kind of focus, and there's a reason that it isn't done very often. It is really hard to be that consistent and that successful for that long. And I've never seen anybody approach the sport of wrestling the way Cal and Cody and Casey do, and obviously I've never seen anything close to the level of consistent success.
Exactly. Cal has his... I tell people over and over again, you have no idea how easy and how great it is to talk to Cal and to listen to him. Every conversation I have with him, I walk away, I feel I know a lot more about something, and at the same time, it's just done in just a very down-to-earth style.
Yep.
All right. I think you have much more contact with him than I do, but that's how I walk away every time.
Yeah.
And there's also a tone that I think he sets. And here's the tone I think he sets. You're competitive. He gets the best out of you. But it's not, quote, life or death. And I feel like, and this is from 30,000 feet, I feel like the Brands brothers are so intense, I feel like Iowa wrestles tight. That's from 30,000 feet. Okay? from 5,000 feet, what's your view of that?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, Steve, is I do think there's a perspective here that, and again, others may preach it, but these kids really buy into, listen, we're going to work our tail off, we're going to have fun. I mean, we're as much fun as you can have while working your tail off, but I mean, they do. They enjoy the sport. They love the grind. They love the competitive fire that the sport brings. But they also do understand that there's a lot of other things to life. And, as Cale pretty consistently says, I mean, this is important because of all the time and work that they're putting in. But at the end of the day, it is a sport. And whether you win, lose, everything goes exactly the way you want, nothing goes the way you want, you're going to go on and have all kinds of other experiences of life. And hopefully this sport and the lessons that you learn from it helps you in that. And I do think these kids, I know some of the other programs, I think, have some fun kind of poking fun at Penn State. It's like, oh, yeah, you're having fun. That's because you're winning. Well, I would argue that they're winning because they're having fun, that they really are looking at it as an opportunity. And when they go to the Nationals, it's, yeah, hey, man, we only get four. Well, these days, maybe some of them are getting five opportunities, but usually right. get four opportunities to compete in this tournament. Right. Why not go out and have fun and let the chips fall where they may? Again, it's not the end of the world. And I do think the pressure, not just at Iowa, but with some other coaches, is maybe a bit much. And I also think Penn State does a really good job at taking a look at the best approach for each wrestler physically. The injuries that Iowa has, listen, part of that is bad luck, and Penn State has had some injuries over the years.
No doubt.
But Penn State has not had as many injuries as a lot of these other programs, and I would argue it's largely because they understand the need for recovery during the course of a week,
yes.
during the course of a season, during the course of a year. And it's not just, hey, we're going to grind, and if you don't do well, then we're just going to run extra laps. No, if you didn't do well, it may very well be because you're a little fatigued. Let's take a look at maybe pulling back here for a couple of days, getting your legs back onto you. And the psychology part of it is a big deal. And I do think, Penn State does an unbelievable job of getting these guys to, again, go in with the idea that, yeah, this is an opportunity. It's not not something life or death or any kind of real pressure. It's just, hey, we can go out and perform, test ourselves against the best in the country, and have some fun with it.
And how important has it been with that philosophy to say, hey, every once in a while, pull back. Every once in a while, give yourself a little bit of a break. Okay, now let's get back to work, and now we'll work. And then you talk about the injury element to it as well. What has been the remarkable ability? How important a role has that played in the remarkable ability to have them peak at the right weekend?
Yeah, it's huge, Steve. And every year, I think these guys look at least as fresh as any team out there.
Yeah.
And again, I think I really do think it goes back to the way they train and they taper down. And again, they go hard. Obviously, it's a physical sport. Nobody gets out of it, just like an NFL season. You're not getting to the end of the season feeling 100% and no aches or pains anywhere. But I think Penn State, overwhelmingly, their kids feel fresh. They look good, and they're just in a really good place mentally and physically each year at the Nationals. And to be honest with you, it starts, Steve, with this week, looking ahead toward next year's Nationals.
Yes, it does. Yep.
Those guys, the returning champions, they're not taking a week off here. They're going back in, and they're practicing this week. It started Monday. And they're working on little things, and hey, this is something we think man, you could take to another level next year. And these kids are buying into it. They're not. Aaron Brooks isn't sitting around saying, "Man, look at me, 2-time national champ."
Yeah, right.
Hey, hot stuff. He's saying, "Hey, what can I work on? Let's see if we can improve some little things here, widen the gap going into next year." And obviously, a lot of these guys are also getting ready now for freestyle experiences during the spring and summer too.
I think as Bill Belichick would say, "On to Tulsa." So.
Yeah, no, and that is, it really is. It's a workmanlike mentality, and all of the kids that are back next year are in the room this week and just going about the daily routine of, hey, let's get a little bit better. Again, we'll have some fun. They'll do the dodgeball and all that stuff before practice, and then it's dialing in and start working on areas where we can improve and try to make ourselves better for next season.
Well, they couldn't ask for anybody better to chronicle it. Congratulations to you on another great Hall of Fame-level tournament by you.
Yeah, it was a super fun tournament, not just from Penn State's perspective. Obviously, that was enjoyable, but I really thought this tournament – with all of the different guys, as we had talked about, Steve, with the COVID extra years and stuff, had a chance to be something special. And, you know, you look at all of the upsets through throughout the tournament, but those first couple of rounds in particular, it was a really exciting, fun tournament to cover.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, that's what I've said about basketball. Why is basketball the way it is this year with all the different, quote, upsets?
Yeah.
It's older.
Yeah.
It's older. There's only one team that's one and done. That's Duke.
Yeah.
So, same thing in wrestling. Hey, awesome work, Jeff. Always enjoy our talks, my friend. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you very much, Steve.
The outstanding Jeff Byers never has made the Matt Cotrillo Hall of... I can't even bring myself to say it.
Oh, he never will. Jeff is a guy that can make you fully understand wrestling. I learn something every time he comes on. I'm serious about that. So, no, he will never be a candidate.
I learn something every time you come on the air, and it's like, oh, so that guy's a dope. Oh.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
So I get this note, you know, we have to put in for pro day for credentials. So they said, hey, we're having trouble with our computer. I texted back. I said, I think I can talk my way in. All right, so we'll come back. Frank Bodani next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Has anything happened in the last hour for you to put somebody into your Hall of Stinkage?
That's a good name, too, but no. Not in the last hour.
I'm concerned. It's a wide list.
That's the name we should give it, the Hall of Stinkage. I like that.
That's what I come up with on my show.
That's good work by you.
I just did it off the cuff. Okay. Which is how I do the entire show. And it drives you nuts. I know it's secretly deep down you're putting me into the Hall of Stinkage.
Never.
Yeah, you say that publicly. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com. Second spring practice getting underway in just a few minutes, and Pro Day is tomorrow. With that, we bring in the outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Frank, welcome.
Steve, good afternoon on a beautiful spring day in State College, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, gorgeous. Can't wait. Yes, I can. In fact, let's go play golf. No, I don't think so. All right. tomorrow will be Pro Day. Spring practice number two is today. James Franklin met with the media on Monday. What was your quick takeaway from what James had to say?
Well, I mean, you know, defense immediately talked up the returns of Adisa Isaac and Beeman. I mean, somebody asked about them, but he made the note of how important it was. Like, here's a real chance for these guys to be impactful. And I kind of think that they need Penn State needs that, right? Because it's really three guys, because you got those two who didn't play at all last year and P.J. Mustafer, who missed half the season. So the balance of being a really good defensive line and being having a lot of questions to answer depends on three guys, and there's some uncertainty there, right? I mean, will they all be ready to roll 100% beginning of the season? That would be my big question.
And then the next part is, it really kind of slipped a little under the radar, but Sal Wormley missed last season as well, and it looks like he is back in the line. When he talked about his starting offensive line, he was one of the five guys he mentioned.
Yeah, I guess he was kind of under the radar, but yet really highly considered a year ago, you know, and of course we never saw him, but there's another position where, yeah, there's promise, but there's some depth issues right now. I mean, you're going to need a guy like Sal to step up, stay healthy, you know, find a place, because right now, you know, yeah, I think you have your center, and I think you certainly have, you know, people are really high on Landon Tengwall getting a spot and Wallace, but you need more than three guys you can count on, right, that you know about. So it's a big spring for them, and to me also for the linebackers.
Right. Yeah, no, it is for the linebackers because, Curtis Jacobs is making a move, so he's going over to where Brandon Smith was. You got Jonathan Sutherland making a move. You know, now, he had done some of this during the course of last season mm-hmm. where he played that outside linebacker spot. And then no Ellis Brooks, so Tyler Elsden, Kobe King. So what's your thoughts on that group?
They have a lot of proving to do, you know. I think because Catchier and Tyler Elsden have been backups. Can they be more than that? You know, we don't know. Kobe, you know, I think a lot of eyes are on him to me this spring. You know, he has a chance maybe to become one of those guys that the coaches and people are talking about, like some of, you know, one of the, like Kalen, like his brother was last year, right? I mean, everybody was talking about his brother last spring. I think Kobe has that chance. He seems very mature and physically ready. You know, can he step up in the middle? I mean, that's huge because, again, you know, I know things change in football, but that's Penn State's position, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch Penn State football for 20, even 20 years, you know, there's so many great names, and Curtis Jacobs can't do it all on his own for sure. So, you know, but then the other thing is, how will that change that position a little bit with Manny Diaz? You mentioned Jonathan Sutherland. I think that's not just because of they need a linebacker. It looks like they might change a little bit the responsibilities, right? And how that third linebacker plays, like a flex position. And Sutherland's got a big opportunity.
Yeah, no, there's no question he's got a big opportunity along the way. Everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. Everybody wants to, you know, because two prominent ones have come in. You have a prominent starter back. You have a guy that, when he filled in last year in the Rutgers game, did a heck of a job mm-hmm. out there. So, look, it's great having all of them. How do you view that spot?
I view it by, in some ways, what's going to be happening in front of them, you know? Because, so Sean's going to be your guy for the start of the season, no question, right? So, I think if the offensive line is just steady and the running game is going to get better, I'm thinking somehow. I think another key that people forget is the tight ends were – everybody was really hopeful for what they were going to do last year. The production really didn't go there, but I expect a big step up from that position. So if those things in front of Sean Clifford even themselves out, steady themselves, I think that just makes him better. That's going to make that position better. I think when those things are in a line, Sean can be really good. And I think that now you go into the spring and the summer with, I think you really have a number two guy where, to be honest, last year nobody knew if you really had a number two guy.
Right.
I think Bayou looks to me like, yeah, he can handle the backup spot. And we know it now, I think, from looking at what he did against Rutgers and specifically. So I think the position is in better depth and hands, you know, with especially with those first two guys. I mean, the young guys are going to get maybe the talk a lot this spring, but you know, to me, it's learning, right, for them more than anything. I guess we'll, you know, Bo Prabula's from York, so he's a big point of our interest. But I mean, you know, see them throw it around a little bit the end of April. But I think it's a lot of learning for them. And that, what better position, I guess, could they be in to have a guy that's a 6-year kind of mold themselves after a little?
Well, exactly. Oh, look, just the language, the terminology is different than in high school. Yeah, I mean, there's so much of a learning curve here that, you know, it takes a little bit of time. That's why them being early, I think, is a huge plus.
Yeah, because, and they're all coming from different places and positions. Like, Drew has this amazing physical upside and ability and arm strength, but yet his weight training and such was, it sounds almost maybe a little bit behind Prabula, for example. So he has some catching up to do in one area, and he needs some time. Whereas they need to get them their bodies ready. They've never been through a Penn State, you know, this is their first time through a Penn State weightlifting and training situation. So, you know, to me, it's just great having them. I wouldn't put a whole lot into how they're going to impact things this quickly on the field. I mean, I would think you hope not. You hope you don't have to. Right? I mean, you hope that Sean stays healthy. I think if things in front of him are pretty good, Sean can be a much better quarterback than what maybe people give him credit for. Because I think you saw it at the beginning of the year in a lot of ways last year.
His record pre-injury in 19 was outstanding. His record pre-injury in 21 was outstanding. That can't be lost in this, because, you know, I mean, the losses or the troubles always happen after he got hurt and was having to fight through something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, I mean, people have to realize, like, actually look back and look at it game by game by game by game, and you'll say, oh, okay, that's when he got hurt. Oh, now look at how he played.
And the thing now is, at least you have a guy, I think, behind him that you're not so worried about that happening. But you're right in that he, you know, I think when he doesn't have the weight, when he's healthy and doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders to try to do everything himself,
and that's
then
what, right,
he's a good decision maker. And I really like I think he's a great decision maker on running, for example. I think he's really good at knowing when to run and how to make the most of it, probably better than any, I mean, you know, even maybe better sometimes than McSorley was at times. I think he's great at deciding that.
And that's where having a ground game that is at a consistently high level can help him, because you get late in games, and if you're not really running the ball well, your play-action game isn't really all that effective, because nobody's going to respect that fake.
No, and there's no reason why Penn State's run game should not take a big jump this year.
Right.
I mean, Mike Yurcich has another year. I think he's going to know way better what he has to work with and what they, you know, what they will be able to do with what he's asking them to do. There might have been a little bit of a transition on that part of things that didn't quite work last year, but he's got the horses, I mean, with the running backs, and I think things probably, I mean, they got to look smoother, Steve. They can't be worse running the ball than they were last year.
Anything on a pro day tomorrow that you're going in interested to see?
Well, because I'm from York County again, Drew Hartlob, I'm going to be watching, because he's an under-the-radar guy, but arguably the fastest guy in the team. And I think a guy like that tests well. You know, if he runs somehow in the 4.2s, people are going to take notice, and he's going to have a shot. I mean, Dan Chisena's on a roster. We know about guys that have had kind of unusual means of making it to the NFL from Penn State. I mean, in a way, Chris Hogan, though he didn't play football for him, you know, he made it. I mean,
Ethan Kilmer.
Right. I mean, he's an interesting under-the-radar guy that is, like, this thing is made for Drew in a way, if he if he performs well, because he has that type of 40 speed, you know? I mean, the kind that will make you stop and make NFL guys take notice of maybe what he could do. He's going to work out, I think, at receiver, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's never done that. But, you know, and then, I mean, everybody's going to be looking at the headliners. I don't know how much Jahan Dotson has to prove it to something like this.
I'm interested to see if Jahan runs his 40 tomorrow, because I know he wants to get into the 4.3s, and he can. Mm-hmm. And so I know he wasn't thrilled with his 40 time out there. I'm interested to see if he runs tomorrow.
Right. So that's interesting. You know, I guess just keeping an eye on guys like, you know, you forget about a guy like Eric Wilson.
Yes.
You know, who was Penn State's steadiest lineman in a lot of ways last year, and no one, and sometimes people forgot he existed. But he has a lot to prove, because he has a lot of great intangibles that I think he might be able to stick on a roster. But can, you know, how will he test? You know, how will he show what maybe his future is just physically for these guys? So big day for someone like him.
Look forward to seeing you.
Great. Yeah, too.
It's great to have everybody back and, you know, and around. So I,
yeah, but
isn't that great?
I think it's there Monday, but I think this week is a big kind of symbol of things back, a little bit more back to normal with all the in-person stuff, which is a good feel, and heading into a real blue-white game.
Yeah.
Maybe, kind of attendance-wise, and maybe a feel for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know we've been going through normal with a small N. Maybe we're getting closer and closer to the capital N. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Great talking.
It's great talking to you too, Frank. I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, you too. Have a great rest of today.
Frank Baudin, New York Daily Record. We'll come back. Matt has more nominees for the Hall of Stinkage in a moment. It seems like endless with you. It's like a bottomless pit. It's like watching The Suit at the Salad Bar. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body, with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
The curator of the Hall of Stinkage joins us.
Sup?
Sup? This is like your way of being cool? I mean, sup? Really?
That's me.
Just trying to get yourself out of your own personal Hall of Stinkage? So, the Dolphins made a trade to get Tyreek Hill. And you evidently did not approve.
No.
Because the Dolphins got better?
No, because the Dolphins gave up 5 picks, first of all. And second of all, I just think the owner is in this whole, is making a sham of himself with this trade, because he knows he's involved in all of these tanking allegations of how things ended with Brian Flores. You can easily say I traded for Tyreek Hill and I give up a million picks and I'm going to make him the highest paid player in the league. Yeah, stop it.
But, okay, I totally disagree with the firing of Brian Flores, as you know. said it, you know, you and I both said it on day one. We're like, this makes no sense. All right, so what have you done since? They hired McDaniel, considered by many to be a really good offensive mind from the San Francisco 49ers. And he's got Waddle, and he's got Hill, and they put Gesicki on franchise tag, which he signed. He signed his tender. They've got a track team on offense with a guy that is an offensive mind. Now, does it pay off? I don't know. I don't know. You know, he's never been a head coach, so I don't know. We're going to have to find out. Meanwhile, for all we know, the Chiefs draft nothing but a bag of balls and get nothing out of it. We don't know that. Now, I expect Brett Veach to take full advantage of it. I can see them getting a wide receiver, a couple defensive players. I mean, and they'll be able to do it financially for less money in Kansas City than it would have been to pay Tyreek Hill. How about that? And I keep going back to the example of Antonio Brown. When Ben Roethlisberger was healthy and more in his prime, Brown tore it up. But then when he got hurt and they had to go to Mason Rudolph, Brown had pedestrian days, one after another. Thus, I would think that the thought process is we've got the quarterback, we can put other receivers around him. So I would think one of those two first-round picks that they'll end up having theirs plus the one they got from the Dolphins, you got to figure one of them has to be a wide receiver. And they could end up with a really terrific one in that spot that can make plays for you. Maybe not of the ability of Tyreek Hill because of the speed. I just think you're a hater.
Only thing I'll say for the Chiefs, I think it's an unnecessary risk considering what the rest of the division has done, and that is clearly the best division in football right now.
It depends on who they end up drafting and who they end up playing, because they've lost. They lost Pringle, they lost Robinson, and now they've lost Hill. Now, they did Hill by their choice.